President Donald Trump has had two press appearances in the space of 2 days, and both times he was asked about rising anti-Semitism in the U.S. that seems to coincide with his own political rise. Here's how the president responded today as he criticized the reporter who asked the question.
Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism, the least racist person. In fact, we did very well relative to other people running as a Republican. Quiet, quiet, quiet. See, he lied about he was going to get up and ask a very straight, simple question. So, you know, welcome to the world of the media.
Yesterday, during his appearance with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Trump talked about his Jewish daughter and grandchildren. What he didn't do was denounce anti-Semitism. Here's the world's Matthew Bell.
The Anti-Defamation League has been tracking anti-Semitism in this country for a century. Speaking from his office in New York City, CEO Jonathan Greenblatt says there's been a surge of incidents in recent months, and these aren't just people posting insensitive comments on Facebook.
I'm talking about bomb threats at preschools. I'm talking about getting messages sent to you telling you that, you know, I got one yesterday telling me they were coming to put me in the oven.
Swastikas spray painted at schools, synagogues vandalized, and in the past 6 months, bomb threats sent to 48 different Jewish community centers in 26 states and Canada. The anti-Jewish haters have clearly been emboldened, Greenblatt says. But when Trump was asked about it yesterday, Greenblatt says the president failed to categorically denounce anti-Semitism.
It would be easy to simply say in no uncertain terms, America is no place for hate. You know, based on our polling, just under 10% or maybe just over 10% of the American people have anti-Semitic attitudes. That's pretty low in historical terms, but the issue is that now many appear to be acting on it. They feel the environment, if not encouraging it, at least isn't discouraging it in an explicit way, and that's a problem.
Trump's non-answer yesterday didn't surprise James Kirchick. He's the author of The End of Europe and a conservative columnist for The Daily Beast. Kirchick is no fan of Donald Trump. Going back almost a year, he described Trump as the candidate of the mob, meaning he's a populist who whips up vague conspiracy theories about minorities. And the mob, Kirchick says, always ends up turning on the Jews.
If you look throughout history, I think movements that are based on conspiracy theory, that are based on hatred of the sort of vague notion of elites without really defining who they are, that target minority groups. It doesn't have to start with Jews, but it will eventually end with Jews because it's the kind of logic of that thinking that is constantly in need of enemies to blame societal ills upon.
Trump got about 25% of the Jewish vote. That's not much less than Mitt Romney did. So there is clearly a segment of American Jews who support what the new administration is doing. Benjamin Netanyahu tried to put the anti-Semitism question to rest yesterday. He said there is no better friend of the Jewish people than Donald Trump. Rabbi Jill Jacobs is not persuaded, though. She's with the Jewish human rights group Trua, and she says the biblical story of Joseph has relevance for American Jews today.
Joseph believes that if he establishes a close relationship with Pharaoh, that he'll be able to protect his family. And it works for a couple of generations. Joseph has a close relationship with Pharaoh. His family is fed and protected during a famine in Egypt. But then as soon as that Pharaoh dies, that relationship falls away and the Jews are put into slavery.
Trump certainly didn't invent anti-Jewish bigotry, Jacob says. But he is also failing to take a clear and forceful stand against it. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.